Blog Talk Radio.
September 8th, 2016. Welcome to the Kitty Bella Show. Please go to the webpage at blogtalkradio.com/the Kitty Bella Show and check out our upcoming episodes as well as our podcasted interviews that are on demand 24/7. The beauty in podcasts is that you don't need to spend time viewing a program. You can listen to the Kitty Bella Show while doing laundry, going for a walk, working out, getting out of your head while trying to study for exams, or driving with a hands-free device, of course. Please utilize social media during the show. If you like something you hear, or if you want to make a comment about what's happening, please do so using the Kitty Bella Show hashtag. If via social media is not your cup of tea, please join us via telephonic instruments at 646-787-8567. All we ask is that you're in a quiet place and have your volume up. We will be taking questions tonight. You can listen to the show from the telephone as well as the live stream online. This is a groundbreaking show on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to our fourth quote-unquote season or installment of the Kitty Bella Show. The show was first started in January 2014 after I got tired of hearing the basic-ass interviews of my trans peeps in mainstream media. We will discuss all kinds of issues here, from the mundane to the serious, and, you know, try to go beyond the sensational shit and try to discuss the real issues that occur in trans folk lives. We will discuss all aspects of our guests' lives. We are so much more than anybody's fucking genitalia. Sometimes our gender is strawberry cosmopolitan, and other times it's a cup of Hennessy. Other times it's Coco Loso. For many trans folk, being trans is sometimes just a small portion of their lives. Many of us struggle with the same day-to-day issues that many other people face on this planet, from figuring out how to pay rent on time to annoying-ass fucking coworkers and bosses to unfaithful partners and lovers. Oh, yeah. Our lives are a myriad of issues, and the Kitty Bella Show believes it's vital that we tell our stories as a way and such. Many of us have persevered despite some of that shit. Happiness within themselves through self-love, starting families, getting married if they want, plenty of loving sex if they want, and just being fucking free. Trans folk are everywhere. Black trans lives matter. Black trans lives are black lives. The fact is, I'm not supposed to be here, a black trans woman producing and hosting a radio program online. So for me, just being in this space is my way of acting out. I often find myself asking, how do we push the agenda forward, though? How do we continuously elevate a conversation while honoring our ancestors, rich history, our messiness, all the fuck of it? I would like to give a special thanks to artists again. I'm saying this again, Sydney Chase, for that amazing show opening. Here we go. She did a phenomenal job with the intro, and I'm so happy to know such a brilliant artist. Please check out Sydney's work. She has a Facebook page, Sydney Chase, who just dropped a new video out. She's doing films. She's just an amazing chick. Also, please support her music. Go to soundcloud.com/Sydney Chase/. So what's the tea? Yes, FYI, I do see you, Jamal. You are all queued up, so don't worry, baby. I got you. We are going to introduce you in a few minutes. What is the tea? Everyone's all up in an uproar, because Matt Bomer is set to play a transgender sex worker in an upcoming film, Anything, co-starring John Carroll Lynch and directed by Timothy McNeil. I don't know who the fuck they are. Some white people, I guess. So for me, yes, this is so problematic in so many ways, blah, blah, blah. But is this shocking?
No.
Hollywood has shown us that they give no fucks about telling our narrative. In fact, they are incapable of it. Whenever anything is done in Hollywood, it is never done with intentionality. It is often done with profits and branding in mind. I would like to know if the same folks I often see on Twitter and social media, if they would just try and use some of that energy they put towards lambasting Hollywood and instead use it towards empowering and supporting trans Black artists, directors, trans Latino artists and directors, especially those who are out here doing some amazing stuff. I often see people call out transphobia and racism, but yet these same folks never talk about the amazing work that's already being done by people without that exposure of mainstream media. I sometimes think we live in this call out, quote unquote, call out culture, where it's popular to call out shit, but not so popular to put proxy into action. Case in point, I often get my most retweets and folks think I've said something witty or smart or engaging. But when I tweet about some new blog post I have written or a new podcast or a new book a trans Black woman has written or a new song a trans woman of color has dropped, I get crickets. Let me repeat this again for y'all. Retweets don't pay the bills. And neither do smart or witty tweets. I need folks to really think about how they show up on social media platforms. For many folks, it's survival. Social media is the way they make a living. So if you can actually share someone's work, that can go a long way towards them paying their rent or et cetera. Okay, my rant is over. Speaking of which, please check out my new blog post on kittybellalive.com. I discuss setting boundaries with people because sometimes people can be full of bullshit. Moving on. I watched a video this morning and gagged. I'm curious if any of my listeners out there, please call in. When you guys call in, yes, the number is 646-787-8567. I gagged. Oh, my God. It's a video that was in an interview done by blogger Armand Wiggins. He has a page on Facebook, and he interviewed Keith Tasty Dupree. They were talking floods, cream pies, Tina, and I'm not talking Turner either. And they were talking HIV disclosure. I literally gagged the whole time. Like, I must say, Mr. Keith, though, kept it real. He lived in his truth, and you have to respect that. Live in your motherfucking truth. That was the key message I took from the video. If you love sex, that is your truth. If you like plunging, that is your truth. Why look for a top if you really like to top? If you like to be versed, be versed. Just live in that truth. My truth is I'm actually very boring as a person. I have no qualms saying that. There is a side to me that likes to carry and dance and put on makeup and key, but the majority of the time, I'm truly happy at home, under my covers, away from people. That is my truth. I will never be the girl at the ball. I know. I'm lame. Hashtag boring bitch. Hashtag bills are paid. Speaking of living in your motherfucking truth, I would like to take this moment respectfully. Excuse my profanity, y'all. This is a serious moment. I would like to take this moment to acknowledge Lady Chablis, who transitioned today. Godspeed. Lady Chablis, an actress and stage performer, was best known for her role in the 1994 bestseller Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. She also played herself in the movie adaptation directed by Clint Eastwood. She was a 59-year-old actress and was still performing in clubs up until a month ago. According to planetchablis.com website, Lady Chablis was known for such phrases such as, you ask, is she a drag queen? If you bitches pay me to be one, I am. Is she a female impersonator? If you need a label, just stick with bitch. Is she? Oh, shit. Land the plane and dock the boat. I am the Lady Chablis, and I put Savannah on the map and then took over the world. You love me, you crave me, and you love to hate me. Oh, my fucking God. Where's the bombs? Rest in peace, Lady C. Now let's move on to today's guest. According to Jamal's Twitter bio, Jamal is a black faggot who won't hush his, her mouth. A dream still dreaming. Producer, writer, artist Jamal will discuss their groundbreaking documentary titled No Fats, No Femmes. Jamal, gender nonconforming semi-artist of color from Brooklyn, is creating a revolutionary piece of work with their new documentary. Jamal has been a longtime Kitty Bella supporter and has always shown me so much love. It was a no-brainer for me to show space to someone who has poured into me. So happy for today's show and excited. We are going to get it popping tonight. Make sure you guys call in at 646-787-8567. Jamal is taking your phone calls. We are talking No Facts, No Femmes, queer disabled bodies, desire, trade, nails, anti-blackness. Let's talk about it all tonight. So without further ado, I bring to you Jamal T. Lewis, honey.
Hi, Katrina. Hi, Sam.
Hi, baby. How
What's
are you?
On? I'm there for you in these sound
what?
Effects, girl. They are the ultimate carry.
I love a good sound
Live
effect.
Live in your
you know.
Truth. That's your truth.
Right.
That's your truth.
Right. Hashtag boring bitch. You know, that's what it is, boo. Oh, my
a
God. Bore, how are you?
A lives for dramatic sound effects. Yes.
Right. Hashtag dramatic sound effects. Right. How are you, though?
I
you
am.
Tonight. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm currently in transit from Brooklyn to Washington Heights in the car moving. So that's me right now in motion, moving. It's been like the theme of my life for the past 3 months. Just like motion, transitioning, you know, because, you know, transitions happen in many ways in our lives. I think that's the beautiful, I guess, part about transness is that, like, we don't often, like, see transition limited to the body in that, you know, it happens all around us in various ways.
Ashe, ashe. So, wait a minute. Hold up. You are doing this interview while you are in transition, moving from one place to the next? You better work for your commitment. Hashtag commitment to the movement. Yeah, you need a bomb. Okay. I can. Okay.
I told you.
Let me get
to
my first question. You did, and I appreciate your dedication, and I appreciate you coming out for the people, because I think it's important that we have these conversations. We never know. You know, when supremacy is going to take any one of us. And so we need everything to be documented at every time, boo, which is why I love that you're
That's
here
right.
to discuss the work that you're doing. Right.
That's
so let me get to my first question.
Okay.
According to your blog at JamalTLewis.com, you
Ooh.
Recently went on a retreat. Right. I do my research. Hashtag research. You recently went on a retreat in Vermont. You shared how you came away with so much, exceeding your quote-unquote tepid expectations. Can you tell our audience what that experience was like in Vermont for you, a queer black
Sure.
family?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I was in Vermont for the CopKind filmmaker retreat and on a farm in Guilford, Vermont, like very beautiful land. And this is like an annual event that happens. They have like a filmmaker retreat and also like a retreat for activists, journalists, organizers. That's how I first heard about it. And I didn't go to the one for activists, journalists, and writers, but I ended up seeing on the website that they had one for filmmakers, so I ended up going there. And what that really provided me was like an escape from like the busyness and noisiness of New York City, and gave me time, to actually like hear myself, and to really just like try to sit still, because I'm not gonna like lie, like I was just still the whole time there and off my phone. But there were so many moments that I had some moments of that, and the ones that I did have, they were I think incredibly refreshing, and. Yeah, so I literally didn't have to think about anything else while I was there but, like, relaxing and trying to invite fun and creativity back into my life and into my work practice, and to think about the film, you know, like, food was prepared for us, and it was so delicious. Shout-out to Joanne, wherever you are in the world, an amazing journalist
Shout out
and
Joanne.
Cook. Shout-out to Joanne, who was incredible in preparing these meals. Joanne and Burn, who assisted Joanne in making the food. Yeah, and it was just like really like what Joanne the scammer would probably tweet as, you know, living a Caucasian life. Because I don't think it's every day that, you know, like Black working class people get to have those kind of experiences where they can go, you know, to a artist retreat. Some of us probably never even know about it. I never knew about it for a very long time. And I always wonder, you know, like how do people, like, sustain their art practices, right? And that, you know, these people, you know, they, you know, go to those kind of, you know, they find those kind of places. But what those places, I think, really represent is, like, kind of a quiet space, right, that people can go and, like, really just tune out from whatever it is that is their norm, and just really focus on one thing for the week. So I showed the intro to the film, which is circulating all around the internet, which is, like you know, like, made so much buzz for the film. And I showed it on the same night as filmmaker Deborah Wilson, who's from the Bay Area, showed her film Butch Mystique, which is a film about butches and like Black lesbian women, some who identified as dykes, some who today identify as like trans men, but just really like focusing on like the kind of like trans or like what we consider today like to be the kind of like trans masculine experience. And it was an incredible film showed on the same night as her, and she also showed a new film that she's working on that like she's been trying to fundraise for and hasn't gotten funding for, because it's a really I think to me it's a really great film. She beautifully like really deals like with the like subject of like mental health in the Black community. And so, like, yeah, if you're out there, like, please Google Deborah Wilson and, like, pour into the work that she's doing. She's, like, trying to do a follow-up on Butch Mystique, and she's also, like, trying to get, like, her film about, like black people struggling, like, with mental illnesses and mental health, like done and out into the world. I think when that film is out into the world, it's going to do beautiful things and challenge us in beautiful ways. So I showed them the same night as her, and I mentioned that because it felt like a very unofficial Black LGBT night, but I think to witness my work in conversation with her really moved me, I felt really blessed. I felt really blessed to be there on the same night as her, and I just felt on purpose, right? I was like, damn, like, I'm not sure if this is the life that I imagine as a 16-year-old, like, struggling to, like, find a way in the world, but damn it, I'm grateful for it, you know what I'm saying? And it was just really good. Like, I don't know, I often, like, retreat into my phone, like whether I'm scrolling through social media sites or whether I'm in my notes, you know, like you know, musing or just, like, writing things down, like, if I'm uncomfortable. But there were, like, a lot of times where I will only get in my phone because, like, I, like, am ADHD boots and, like, self-diagnosed down to the ground, down to the ground. Because, like, I'm so used to multitasking so much, and, like, multitasking as a way to, like, keep myself attentive. And sometimes it just comes off as rude, but it's really not me just being rude. It's me really trying to, like, stay awake. Because in addition to, like, you know, ADHD, I'm also narcoleptic down, girl. So, you know, which meaning, like, you know, those, like, those neural signals, I think a bitch is sleepy, you know, and she ain't always sleepy. Sometimes, you know, she'll think a bitch tired, she ain't always tired. But, you know, we find ways to deal with these things. And I found ways to deal with them, like all without kind of, like, engaging, like, the, like medicine or, like, you know, hospitals and a medical industrial complex and all those good things. But, yeah, there were times where I was in my phone and times, like, where, like, I really had, like, beautiful conversations. Like, with, like, these seasoned filmmakers, like, who I didn't feel insecure standing next to. Like, I didn't feel insecure at all, like, standing next to them. And I saw my work as unique, and I was reminded, you know, seeing my work next to this, how important it is for it to be out in the world. So that was that. I also had some moments where, you know, I got to enjoy being in the jacuzzi, you know, swimming in, like man-made ponds and screaming rivers and taking showers outside and, like, you know, sleeping in, like, a cabin, you know, all those little, you know, nice little things out in the rural greens and things.
Yeah, that was
I left really refreshed and honestly, like, really ready to kind of, like, move forward and really recommit myself to, like, finishing the film. And a really big highlight was I've been seeing this new film called The Peacemaker. And I wrote about this in my reflection because it was a really big, important part for me in my reflection in that I mentioned that film because that film was workshopped at the filmmakers retreat. So it was nice to see, like, someone who had, you know, like, workshopped their film at them where they are today. So, like, for the kids and, like, really, 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 really great praise for the film. But guy named, what was his name? Porridge O'Malley, and he's, like, this Irish, like, internationally acclaimed, like, peacemaker, right, in that he traveled abroad and, like, worked with countries in conflict, and he helps them resolve it through, like, helping them finally to talk to each other but to also negotiate, like, things with money, which everybody don't have to solve conflict, but what I pulled from it was that I didn't really want my life to, I think, appear in the ways that he did. So he was very gifted and skilled at producing resolution for these countries, but he couldn't quite, I think, produce that same kind of resolution for his own life and the things that, like, he was, I think, dealing with, like, as a human being, right, away from his gifts and his vision and his talent. That really hit me really hard, and I felt very convicted watching it, and I was just like, damn, like, this is not what I want for myself, like, to be skilled and very great at producing, like groundbreaking, quote unquote groundbreaking thought that, like, helps others, you know, imagine, like, you know, like, better worlds or, like, solutions to conflict without being able to, you know, like, solve the shit that's happening in my personal life. You know what I'm saying? So I've always been a person, I think people praise me for today. It's work that kind of started with self-work, right? I am that girl.
Right.
I've been that girl for many years, right? And that I've been engaged in movement work on many levels throughout various, like, social movements. But I've always been one who, you know, who never quite had my foot in any place. And that goes back to high school. You know, never really had my foot in one social group. I start a lot of projects, you know, and try to work on them all at the same time. I'm very open to all. Open to all with a twist, sis. Open to all with a twist.
Well, let me ask you another question.
Okay.
According to the No Fats, No Femmes Facebook page.
Yes, according to.
No Fats. Right. As you know, they like to say, you know, people don't like to say, you know, black people know what they're talking about. So I like to make sure we get clear where I get my information from. No Fats, No Femmes interrogates and explores desire, the politics of desirability, and the ways in which they are informed and shaped by media, pop culture, and capitalism through interviews,
yeah,
archival research, and performance. The film engages the phrase No Fats, No Femmes, popularly used on queer social networking dating sites, through the personal narratives of five Black and brown, queer, trans, fat, femme, and disabled people. Jamal, we often see in the LGBT community, and we have for decades now, that this archaic stereotype of masculine, able-bodied man with a gym-toned body as the model, quote-unquote, look and aesthetic for gay people. But I also feel like in the, you know, trans community and, you know, sort of the drag and gender nonconforming sort of sections, that has carried over. If you don't fit a certain look or have certain surgeries, the girls judge you and shade you. Sometimes you appear less desirable to trade or men. As someone who identifies as gender nonconforming, someone who doesn't identify with either gender prototype as singular, as yourself, how has being your luscious self shaped how you are desired and seen in the media and pop culture?
Oh my.
Right. It's a mouthful.
All right, Miss Mama.
Yes. How are you desired and seen in media? Right. That's a big one.
Am I seeing the media?
I don't know.
Girl, that fucking sound effect, Mama. Sound effect.
Oh.
I got some sound effects too.
Okay. you raised a very interesting question. Are we?
Yeah. I mean, where do I start with this, with answering this question? Girl, this traffic
How about,
is moving on this highway. Yes, ma'am.
Which highway are you on?
I don't know, New York, but whichever one that gets you to the Heights. Maybe the West Side Highway? Girl, I can't even tell
you. The West Side Highway.
I don't even know how to drive.
No, that's what you want. That's what you want. I can't.
Okay. I don't even know how to drive. I'm just riding. So
you know, I'm from New York, so I know. Documentary will change some. Hopefully, you know, some of that, or you know, maybe it won't. It will provide a narrative.
I think that people, you know, I don't know, there's this really weird thing that kind of happens with, like, people, you know, kind of, like, you know, challenging themselves, how they've known things in the world, you know, like, from, you know, witnessing the kind of cultural reduction produced by queer and trans folks. And sometimes, to me, it just feels a little performative, but, like, I can't decide that for people all the time. That's just often my feels around it. But I think that folks are desired, you know, in media and in private spaces. Often, like, what happens in media is often, like, bodies that are, you know, like, not, like, it's like, bodies that kind of fall within, like, what, you know, I would probably see on the meme, like, oh, like this is thick, like,
and that is fat, right? So like kind of like a body that like I guess like doesn't really disrupt like the notion of like what is considered beautiful, right? If it's a body that's like, you know, thick and curvy and like has like it still has like an hourglass shape, right? It is like it's one of those bodies that like folks, you know, like feel like, oh, I'm not really dating a fat person, I'm just dating like, you know, like someone with shape, right? Or like a thick
right.
shorty. So yeah, I think this is I'm gonna have to think about that one, and I'm gonna have to give that one an I don't know. I have to think about that more, because you know I know that we are desired. I mean, like me, like I'm on social media often. I use it as a way to journal and just like document where I am in my thinking and my doing and in my performing life. Because life often feels like a performance for us, because like you know the only ways that like queer and trans folks, particularly trans women folks, are kind of respected is when we're performing for people, right? And like when we are like putting on a show, like whether that is like folks always expecting us to like you know have an opinion about a thing, so you know like know a lot of things to give them like a trans 101 history, et cetera, or you know like in how we have found like our own survival, right? And in traveling across the world and sharing our work on various stages, be it universities. or community centers, honey, or bathhouses, or you know, popular cruising spots, darling, you know, at a ball,
right?
You know? but I think for me, often I am desiring just walking down the street, you know, anybody who like knows me personally, and I'll give you the key to that because I know freaking key about these things, and they're understood, right? And I won't have to tell you like a story about an experience, and like you're like, huh? I don't get that. But you know, like I'm desiring this pretty often. You know, like men are very bold in New York, right? And they don't have a problem. Like sometimes they don't have a problem communicating like,
right.
their desires, but it often happens in a very coded way. And sometimes that coded way is like very like nonverbal, and sometimes it's homophobia or transphobia. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's that. Is there anything else
right.
that you want me to like say that possibly could
no,
answer
no.
another way?
I think
if I
you,
didn't answer it?
No, you answered that
okay.
perfectly.
Okay.
And it brings me to my next question. In a video compilation of your new documentary, someone spoke about how the term no fats, no femmes in terms of the gay community is an illusion. I found that quite interesting, Jamal.
Didn't he wake that up?
Right, and it goes back to what you sort of was just saying in response to my previous question. And my question to you now is, like, is it all a facade in your eyes, Jamal? Is it an illusion? Are we all just femmy, fat, luscious cunts inside? All of us, every single one, even the trade, waiting to be released from our heteronormative desirable shackles? What is the tea?
Honestly, so I said it so crazy because I was kind of, like, reflecting on this morning, right, how we often... You know, how we often, like, find ourselves, like, you know, like, feeling, like, feeling, like, this kind of, like, inconsistency, right? This kind of cognitive dissonance, right? And I was talking about, like, how, like, I have encountered a lot of men, like, who will, like, desire me in a very public way, right? So, like, not so, like.
Speak about it.
Because, like, you know, public and private often feels like a binary that I kind of want to break away from. But it's just, like, often private, but it's kind of like a public-private way sometimes, right? Because sometimes they're bold as fuck.
Right. Hey, shorty.
They will, like, desire me.
Hey, shorty, come in.
But also kind of, like, maintain this kind of, like, no fats, no femmes, like, politics, like, publicly. And this is the thing that I've experienced with all men, gay, straight, you know.
I ain't gay, though.
Men who disidentify with, you know, like, with gayness, right? But it's just this really, like, strange, like, duality or this, like, cognitive dissonance that really happens, like, where, like, on one hand, like, they desire you, but, like, can't desire you, like, in the ways that they might want to, because they are, one, afraid of what it will mean to, I think, like, embrace what they have been told not to, and two, because they feel like they will be shamed for it. So when he said that it was an illusion in the video, it's right, because all culture is just, like, it's really, it's so fascinating, like, what people would do, or what I have done, you know, like, to gain a nut, right, or to gain pleasure. But it's not really just what people, like, this is about my life as well, you know, and I'm in it as subject at times. I don't really want to be, but, every time that I've shown the film, like, people ask, they're like, we want more of you in the film, more of you in the film. And I'm really trying to find a way to make that work without being on the film as much. But anyway, I was saying that, like,
right,
you know, it's amazing, the lengths at which we go, like, to, you know, gain pleasure, love.
Jamal, you there? Oh, there you go, baby. You're going in and out. Jamal, babe, you there?
My fucking and in my pleasure making, I have learned that, like, people want to be loved. And people want to, I think, live, like, lives, engaging pleasures that, you know, like, they, you know, like, you know, wouldn't be shamed for. Like, I remember talking to this one dude, and it's so crazy, like, how this will read crazy as hell, and excuse my language, but he was just like, like, in his, like, ideal world, right? Like, what does it mean to, I think, engage, like folks in, like, what their desires are, right? Away, you know, like what kind of world do you want to live in? And one thing he said to me, as crazy as hell as it sounds, he was like, you know, I want to, like, build a life, like, live in a house, and, like, you know, like where it's just, like, you know, like, me, like, my tranny and my bitch, like, where my tranny loves my bitch and my bitch loves my tranny. And quietly, I was gagging. And I think the key, like, when he was telling me that, I laughed, because, you know, I'm goofy.
Right.
And I was just like, okay, like, you know what? Like, I can't give you that, but, like, you know, you should be able to have that. You know, and, like, I guess, like, where y'all are able to, like, you know, like, build a life together, right? Like where y'all all love each other and y'all are, like, you know, like, subverting traditional norms of relationship, right? And, like, you know, expanding the possibility of what could be. You know, you could work on that language, you know, right?
Right.
So I guess, like, have power over, like women and the people that you are, like, I guess, like, in relationship with. But, you know, I was just really wondering, like, from that moment, like, what would it mean, like, if we, like, really, like, invested in, like talking about, like our desires, like, in ways like that, is invested in, like possibility and, like, otherwise futures, like, for people, right, and not shame them and judge them, like, for those things, however wicked or however, like, you know, like, you know, yeah, however, like, problematic.
I get what you're saying.
Like, you know, or not.
Right, messy,
our,
or
in
how
our eyes.
Quote unquote messy it could be seen. Right. So with that said, I would like for you to share with our viewers and listeners, what are your desires, Jamal? What are some of your desires?
Can we talk about the holiday?
Okay.
Right.
How about we do this?
I'm
talk about?
I'm only kidding, girl. How dare I sit here and say that? You know, we should invest in, like, helping people talk about their desires, not sit here and pay it. I don't know. I was talking about that. Some of my desires, I think, for life for now is I want to go to London. you know, and I want to go to South Africa and Paris. London or South Africa, because one of my doc subjects live in South Africa and will be moving to London soon, probably in the next week or so. So I haven't been able to make it to South Africa to film them. It would have been so amazing to have that kind of footage, but I'm still going to go to South Africa and get footage. There are some amazing folks, like, doing work. I'm in the university over there. I'm not sure if it's the University of Cape Town, but there's a trans collective out there doing amazing fucking work. Shout out to my sisters over there, raising fucking hell with the trans collective.
Yeah.
Shout out to the girls. And, you know, I want to go there and, like, you know, spend time with them, Kiki, get them on film and talk about desire and, like, you know, how I think, like, this kind of, like, an effect of film policy kind of, like, you know, impacts their lives beyond, you know, sex and bedroom. I won't get one of the subjects there, but, you know, I should be able to get them. But London will also be a beautiful place to film. And it's so crazy because, like, I've been, like, trying to manifest this, and somebody also told me recently, who don't even know me, that they see me in London. So it was like a really weird, like, it wasn't a weird reading, but it just felt on time. And there's also this really, like, fine ass dude, like, you know, who's been, like, you know, like, really making me smile.
Bang.
You know, keeping up in the DMs or whatever.
Damn.
You know, it'd be nice to see him too.
Ashe. I like that.
That's,
I like that. Right. Like, the desirability can be so many things.
Oh,
and
yeah, for sure.
Especially for those who are disabled, we don't ever discuss their desires. Because, you know, like, disabled queers need sex and love too, right?
Yeah, for sure. We all do. But especially,
right.
Like, you know, like, folks whose body are often, like, rendered, like, I guess, incapable of, or not even incapable, but, you know, like folks who in the same way, you know, that they might, you know, like, not consider a fast person worthy of, like, desire and love and affection. Same thing kind of happens with, like, a disabled person, and that's why I'm so excited to, like, have, like, you know, Eddie, you know, Dapu in my film, right, who has written, like, extensively around, like, love and desire, and just, like life as, you know, as, like, a disabled person out here, like, really, like, doing, like really pushing, like, the boundaries and limitations of space and time, and, like, really, like pushing us to, like, I think, really engage our futures in different ways, and Eddie is badass. They're on their way to Oxford University in London, which, you know, I am so happy for them. They have a campaign going called Oxford Educated, right? So Eddie, you know, educated,
okay.
You know. So Eddie is, like, one of the first disabled students attending the university. Eddie is badass.
Work, yes. Jamal? Oh, we lost Jamal. Oh, Jamal, I'm sure we'll call back. We were getting into some really good topics. Oh, my, this would have been a perfect time to take a phone caller, but it seems like we lost one of our phone calls, too, here. Oh, my. Let's play a little theme song in the meanwhile. Kitty Bella Show. We're talking with Jamal Lewis. Unfortunately, Jamal's call dropped. And so we lost our phone call here, but they're back on the line. Yes.
Hi.
You're back with us. Hey.
My phone call failed. I was talking about Eddie before my phone failed. But, yeah, I was just here saying that, you know, Eddie is amazing. But, yeah, Eddie, like, will, like, touch on that in the film, right? And I'm happy to have that perspective because it really, I think, like, broadens the conversation, right? And it shows, like, how this kind of, like, I think, thought or ideology, like, really, like, how it's just so deeply embedded, like, in our thinking, right? Because of how conditioned or how our desires are often conditioned by the media that we consume. So, like, you know, I know I say fancy words, like, you know, like, as informed by media, pop culture, but, like, what I'm really investigating is just how, like, media as a reproductive technology, and what I mean by that is, like, a thing that kind of reproduces itself over and over again, right? You know, how you see something on the TV, and you want to model yourself after that, you know, that's often how people model their desires, right? Not they, like, you know, they, like, model it, like from, like, that kind of space, which oftentimes feels like a space of lack, right, because it's only one kind of model, you know? I'm excited to think of Eddie to, like help us, like, move through and like, work with so many other people. I'm dropping Eddie because it was fun.
Ashe. Shout out to Eddie.
An abstract person.
Yes, for bringing in hashtag, yes, bring up disabled queer lives. They are mattering, and they do have value. So I'm glad that you brought up Eddie. Yes. Shout out to Eddie. Jamal, you attended Morehouse College in Atlanta for your undergrad. You attended Morehouse in your undergrad. Can you just please tell our audience briefly?
Sure.
And what ways that experience shaped you today as a person and as an artist?
My time at Morehouse was a really interesting one. I know a lot of people think that I often just criticize it too often, but, like, I am really grateful that I, you know, went to the school when I did, because I found some of my, like, lifelong friends who I think who, like, really helped me, like, believe in myself and believe in the kind of work that I wanted to produce in the world. And a lot of that started on campus at Morehouse. So a lot of the work that I did at Morehouse kind of laid the groundwork for what I'm doing today. I was there, like, oh, my God. I'm kind of on a time crunch, so we may not be able to, like, go too far. Sorry. I'm sitting here managing a phone interview.
No, no worries. Sorry, baby.
I am too much.
the multitasker.
Yeah, so, right. I told you already. School was just, I think, really, like, formative to, like, who I am today, because I think in struggle, I think I've found out, like, who I really am. Much of the kind of, like, I guess, knowledge production that I am, I put it out into the world today, it was things that I learned from just quietly observing stuff on campus. I think that school has, like, as a focus group, like, is really interesting.
Right.
It wasn't, like, the, like, best space for me, but I had some really fucking great experiences. Experiences that I'll never forget. And that's, like, traveling with the Glee Club, you know, like, trying to make space on campus for the girls, you know, affirming spaces, you know, like, doing political organizing work, queer political organizing work. You know, like, working with the school newspaper, you know, often being heralded as the Messy Girls. We didn't always want that. We were just trying to produce, you know, award-winning work, which is what we did. We won several awards.
Right.
You know, that people could still call us messy for, but, you know, we produce groundbreaking work. And they often called us messy because, like, we produce work around, like, gender and sexuality. I don't know if I answered the question because my mind is all over the place.
You did.
Okay.
You did. Speaking of which, you talk about how gender it shows up in so many ways. So if you had to describe, what does your gender look like today? Is it hashtag all over the place?
it very much
hashtag
is hashtag all over the place.
Right.
It's very
what does
much
your gender look
over
like today?
Is it okay. all over the place?
Okay, it's very much that.
Right. What is your gender giving?
Hashtag all over the place.
Oh
hashtag
my
all over the place.
God.
It's down further. It's giving all over the place.
Is that now most days on other days? What does your gender give? I'm sure it varies, like for most of all of us. Jamal, we lost you again. Jamal, you lost Jamal again. You're still there, I see. Where you go, Jamal? Jamal, call back if you can. I'm going to end the call. Oh, we lost Jamal again. Jamal, again, is moving. And shout out to Jamal. Jamal still decided to do this interview, but they were in transit while they're doing this. And so just please bear with us while we're having this breaks in communication here. I have a few more questions, and then I was going to end the show. I had actually one more question, maybe two. You know me. But let's see if Jamal calls back in so we can put a proper closure on today's podcast. What is everyone doing tonight? No one is calling. Oh, there goes Jamal again. Hey, boo.
I'm back. Sorry.
Don't worry. It's okay.
Dandy Cart Lifestyle.
Don't worry.
I
only have like two more questions and we're almost done here.
Okay. Yes, please.
I wanted to know.
Has any caller called in?
There was one, but then they hung up. I was actually
girl,
trying to take some phone calls.
Girl,
I'm like,
it's too long. When
I'm like, where
is
everybody
tonight?
What's going on? Is it how to get
girls,
away with murder tonight? Is it scandal? I'm like, what's going on?
The girls are bored by us. They are bored by us.
They are not featuring it for us. They like
they
y'all
are
not giving very
the,
much.
They are not standing for the fat boring girls unless we are kikiing.
I know. I don't know what's up with that. But anyway, we're still going to do us.
Yes, we are.
What is Black Joy for you, Jamal?
Ooh,
what makes you
yes.
smile on most days? Yes.
What makes me smile? That's a great question. I'm so happy you asked that.
Thank you.
You know, joy and desire, you know, they often work simultaneously. With each other. But what Black Joy to me is thank you so much. Have a great rest of the evening. Black Joy to me is it's many things, right? It is, I think, culmination of many things. But it can't be contained. It can't be contained. It is ever growing, and it is, you know, voguing down in my house
right.
with a 50 girl. It is
right.
my meal with the girls.
Right.
It is a blunt after a long day.
Oh.
It is. Oh. Okay. Did you call in for that?
Right. I need a bond for that.
It is sex, you know. It is all of that, sis. It is all of that. Yeah,
yes,
I can go on and on and on and on and on about it. But
please do.
Oh,
no.
Really?
No, I know you
girl.
Got a lot going on right now. I know.
No, no.
I know.
It's okay. Y'all can go ahead. I'll catch you next one. It's okay. Girl,
you're about to go up in the elevator?
Yeah, girl. Yeah. So let me tell you how anti-black
racism
works.
So we're going to cut off again?
No, we won't cut off. I couldn't get to the elevator because, you know, like, I'm entering the building at, like, you know, the same time as people are entering the building. And they see me, like, trying to grab all of this shit. And instead of, like, you know, like, holding the elevator as they see me, like, walking towards, they let it close. I'm just like, okay.
I can't. People are so fucking rude, right? I can't. I deal with that all the time.
Sometimes it's just them afraid to share close space with black people. That'd be the goal.
Race is rude. Rude racist.
But the guy is. Talk
about it.
People be afraid of black
people.
That is
the They do. Absolutely. All the time. All day, every day. And we have to continue to push through. Right. Push through. Push the fuck through. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be afraid. But I still got to walk, bitch. So move out the fucking way, like Ludacris say.
Boo.
So as we both know, Boo, I follow you on all your social media pages, as most folks I love. But one of the things you show off on most of your networks are those iconic, legendary nails of yours. Please tell our audience, right, who does your nails, what is your favorite style of color, and what do your nails mean to you? What do they represent?
Yes, so I get my nails from Brooklyn. They be hella anti-black girl. Gotta get my nails.
Where in Brooklyn? I used to get my nails done in Brooklyn too.
Yes. So
on Fulton Avenue.
My favorite color. I don't know if I have a favorite color as I do a favorite shape.
You like the pointy shape.
Right. I love the cat call. I guess it's called. I love these cat claw. Thank you. I love the cat claw. And I love, you know, designs when I can afford them. But yeah, I really like that shape. Honestly, truly, I love that shape because I think to me they kind of represent an extension of my fingers. I have very fat fingers, and the nails often kind of extend them, and they often feel like, you know, like I'm ready. Not that I'm always like, I need to fight with them, but I feel like a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very cat-like. Feline.
Right.
Mhm.
And what are you scratching? Is this to protect and claw your way? Are these nails to protect and claw a way out of the white supremacy?
Very much that, in a way.
Yes. Shout out to the people on Twitter. Because we may not be having lots of callers tonight, but we got people listening, and they are loving our conversation. I just wanted to let you know that. I've been getting feedback.
Okay.
Right. I guess everyone's too busy to call tonight. It's okay. It happened. But, yes, I love the nails. I really feel like I always felt like they represented something deeper than just putting on nails.
The real truth is that I bite my nails a lot. I'm a nervous wreck.
Oh my god, they're like me.
And I bite my nails. So when I first started adding adding on nails, it was really about like trying to prevent myself from biting my nails.
Biting your whole hand off. Right.
And to allow them to grow. But what I realized in doing that, the acrylic breaks the nails down. So it was kind of like defeating the purpose.
Right.
So, yeah. Do you have any other questions?
I don't. I'm sure that you're ready to wrap it up, though. I know you have a lot to get to. Are you ready to wrap it up, or I'm not sure where you were going, Jamal?
No, yeah, I think.
Oh,
I was done with,
no, I didn't know that you were saying like you're. Oh, as far as the nails, no, that was it. I just wanted to kiki about the nails and ask about that. That was it. Is there anything else you would like to share? Is the question, or talk about, or touch on in regards to the documentary? Please let us know what is going on with it right now. What can we expect? And anything else that you want to talk about or share? The floor is open to you.
So I am in pre-production for the documentary, which is often long. I think I try to rush it based on the pressures that I think have a thing out in the world. But, you know, filming is happening. Interviews are constantly happening. And, yeah, I guess that's all I can say. I don't want to say too much or promise like too much that I can't keep.
Right. Where can folks go to support the work?
www.nofatsnofans, and that's NOFATSNOFEMES.com.
Ashe, is there anything else you would like to share?
No, I want some questions.
What you said?
I don't think I have anything else to say. I can answer some questions.
Oh, okay. Right. I think that you have slayed all the questions I have, and there's really nothing else for me to say except to say that I look forward to this documentary, and I'm so proud of you and so happy for this joy of work you're creating, and look forward to taking part in viewing it.
Thank you, Christina.
Ashe, thank you so much for coming on. I know that this is a hectic time for you, and I appreciate the fact that you took time out to talk to us today. If folks want to pour into you, if they want to follow you, where can they find you?
Everything is FATSNMEMES, FATSNMEMES.
Yes, work. All right, Jamal, it was so good talking to you. I will talk to you later, baby. Lots of love. Get settled in, get relaxed. Love you too, baby. Yes. Thank you for joining us today. Please like our Facebook page, share our page, and please send me your questions and comments. Please check out our over 35 podcasts and shows on demand. Please feel free to keep our show afloat by pouring a small or large resource into the PayPal at kittyjoy2011@gmail.com, or check out the website at kittybellalive.com. In 2 weeks, we'll be welcoming writer, comedian, Red Durkin, to discuss their life as a comedian who happens to be trans. We will chat about Red's experiences navigating spaces not normally dominated by trans women. We'll also spill some tea and kiki. In the meanwhile, carve out time for yourself, practice self-care, unplug if you must, and pay it forward, always. Lots of love.